Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, you remember after the tragic events of New Year's Eve, New Year's Day of 2025, and even here recently talking about the amount of overtime that has been spent during that period of time to ensure the safety and security of people visiting the city, whether it was Saints games, whether it was the Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, or otherwise. We talked about these barricades, these bollards that are on Bourbon Street. And it turns out that there are images of people that are easily moving this stuff. And a lot of it has been caught on Project NOLA cameras, which has been one of the most successful programs that we've seen as it relates to cameras throughout the city. And joining us is Brian Lagarde, Executive Director of Project NOLA, to talk about this. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Brian, first, what is it that you've been able to see on your cameras?
As you said, we're seeing where people are able to easily move the barricades. We're seeing vehicles traveling on Bourbon Street after hours when it's closed to vehicular traffic. Vehicles traveling through large crowds of people to get from one point to another.
Actually, last week I saw that happen. I didn't realize it until after the fact when I made my way back around to another cross street closer, deeper into the quarter where the barrier was up. And I was like, wait a minute, that barrier over there was closed. Why would they have one closed, one open? And I guess it wasn't until, this was reported, I said, well, it wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be, right?
Yep, surprise. So what's happening is sometimes it's people who park their vehicle on Bourbon before it's closed down. They return back to their vehicle. They find the barricades up. They get in a car, start it, drive through the crowds, make it down to the end of the block, to the barricade, push it open, get out. Or it could be just the opposite, where sometimes we see people that really want to drive onto Bourbon Street for one reason or another. It might be something benign, like they want to just show off their show car. And they move the barricade out of the way, and they jump onto Bourbon Street and drive through the crowds. So, of course, everyone's concerned in the back of their minds. We don't want to have another January 1st. But also, some of these individuals might be driving while intoxicated, and they're going through crowds. It only takes a small mistake, and then we have another casualty event.
Do you have a sense for how long this has been going on and this ability to just do that?
Since the new barricades went up. So they're designed to be easily rolled into place, dropped down using a ratchet tool, and then they're supposed to be anchored to the ground. The problem is there's no anchor points in the ground. There were no holes that were ever drilled into Bourbon Street where it would anchor into. So they easily move into position, they drop, and it's basically like moving a heavy piece of furniture. So you put enough pressure against it, it's going to move.
So you've been able to capture this on video going back to right after they started deploying this equipment?
Right. Absolutely. So it really didn't take long for people to realize that the barricades could easily be moved. And so it was, it's been a problem since the barricades were in place.
Have you been in communication with anyone? I mean, has any city official called you just out of curiosity to say, hey, can I see what you're talking about?
We work a lot with the boots on the ground in the 8th District. And so we have been comparing those from the very beginning. They've been noticing it. They've been sending it up the chain, from what I understand. We've been making notifications directly to the 8th District. It's our understanding that the Mayor's Office of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness was advised. But it's also, you know, how can somebody not know this was going on? It's, you know, the police officers saw it. They were reporting it up the chain. And then anybody that was on Bourbon Street, yourself, people that work there, tourists, locals, you walk on Bourbon Street and there's a decent chance that you might see this happen yourself.
Have you been able to capture any city employee or NOPD, for that matter, or criminal sheriffs that see these barricades wide open, put them back in place?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When the NOPD officers see them open, they go and, you know, they move them. Sometimes, actually, if a person is stuck behind the barricade and they reach out to the 8th District, if possible, an officer might walk out there and go open the barricade and help that person get their vehicle off of Bourbon Street safely. So they're doing what they can to help make everything safe. And when they do see the barricades open, we've seen them close them.
Would it make sense to just make Bourbon Street a no parking area except for deliveries? I mean, and then
that's above my pay grade.
I'm sitting here thinking if we have this and that's one of the causes, we could eliminate that cause by saying you can't park on Bourbon Street. Right? It's only delivery trucks. It would make delivery of goods a lot easier. I mean, you know,
that would certainly make things, that would certainly make things safer. And, but also, like right now, there's another question. Why aren't the vehicles that are remaining on Bourbon Street immobilized or towed away? So our understanding is that there's no towing enforcement at night. So at the very least, it would be nice if someone were to go ahead and to boot any parked vehicles on Bourbon Street after hours that they can't move. It would also be nice if somebody, you know, the city's been quick to rip up the streets in the French Quarter. We're talking about some small holes on Bourbon Street for the anchor points for the barricades. Why not drill some small holes on Bourbon Street so that these barricades can actually work as designed? So there's a lot of questions.
You know, my concern, a tourist coming to town, they don't exactly know where they're going. You know, I know better than to turn on Bourbon Street, right? In fact, I don't remember the last time I travel down Bourbon Street. Just because I know it tends to get backed up, you know, there could be some walking parade or something going on. So I just don't do it. I avoid it. But if you have a tourist that's driving into the city and they turn on Bourbon Street and they get to the next corner and there's a barricade, you compel somebody to back up an entire block?
I mean, so hopefully the barricades are erected on both sides. Now that could certainly happen if somebody were to push a barricade.
But you can't guarantee that.
Happen. If, of course.
But you're not guaranteeing that, right? Because, you know, it could be that they just move one side up, right?
Exactly.
Is my point.
Exactly. So it's it's just people that find themselves in a bit of trouble. They turn. They don't know. They find themselves on Bourbon Street in the middle of a bunch of people. So if the barricades were anchored down, then we wouldn't have to worry about that so much.
Yeah. Let's pivot real quick. Let's talk about your business model. It's been a huge success. It's helped solve a lot of crime. You know, we with the onset of AI, I think it's going to ultimately become even more effective, more real time, if that's even possible. Where do you see this moving with the assistance of AI?
Oh, wow. In a number of really good directions. Of course, you have to be socially responsible with the technology as well. So
sure.
We're using facial recognition, clothing recognition, license plate recognition. We can detect when illegal dumping of trash to people jumping fences, intruding into areas where they shouldn't be. There's any number of different things that we can use AI and do use AI to automatically bring our attention to. So, case in point, of course, our new vehicle detection system for Bourbon Street that will very soon be alerting the NOPD when a vehicle travels down Bourbon Street after hours.
Yeah, because, hello, Houston, we have a problem, right? The vehicle's not supposed to be there.
Exactly. So it'll be a good way for them to know, basically receive an alert live and in real time as it's happening that there's a vehicle traveling. So, of course, we have, due to police, due to attrition, we don't have as many officers as we would like to have. They're spread very thin on Bourbon. So if you have officers that are down on the 600 block and somebody, drives their vehicle onto the 100 block or the 200 block, there's a good chance that officer might not see it. So with our system, it'll be able to go ahead and automatically alert the 8th District Station as well as officers that have our mobile app on their phone.
Yeah, I often thought if I had control of that space, the first thing I would do is get an agreement to run fiber across all of that rooftop and just be able to move images and everything else on a really reliant platform, have a level of redundancy. And much like I think they call it the Ring of Fire in London, in the London financial market. Is that right? Do you know?
I don't know what they call it, but yes, actually, we all know it's pretty effective over there. The way that we're doing it, where all of our cameras are on people's homes, businesses, churches, and schools, and we're really not having problems with connectivity because we're connecting to hard lines in the homes and the businesses. The weak link usually in these type of systems is when, especially 4G, Wi-Fi, with all the people that are in the French Quarter, all the RF noise, those technologies really do not work. It's just too much congestion, radio congestion in the French Quarter, in the downtown area. So as long as you're connected to a hard line, whether it be Cox, AT&T, or fiber, then it's very reliable. So we've been using, tapping into people's internet, home internet, for 15 years now. And our system is extraordinarily reliable.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I was just saying, I mean, it's just one of those things that I would want to see accomplished, because I really believe that the utilization of your technology, if appropriately weaved into the NOPD operationally, and I know that we've had these friction points, for a while now, that we could eliminate some human capital needs. And I don't think that you may want to opine about that, but I really believe that technology, the value proposition of it, I don't know that we have fully recognized, you know, what we could ultimately do. Your thoughts?
So it's why we created the system. So it's a very effective force multiplier. It's the means for the public to rally behind law enforcement and help. So it's a lot of people want to help law enforcement in their mission to make communities safer places. And by hosting a camera is a very easy way for them to go ahead and do it. So have we tapped the full potential of it? No. A lot of that has to do with the police attrition problem. We've gone from with the NOPD being proactive to, as we, you know, manpower went down, to being reactive. Now, some of the holes we've been able to fill very greatly with Troop NOLA. They're amazing. They're proactive. You know, when the NOPD can be proactive, it's amazing. But realistically, there are occasions where we're seeing things. We're seeing wanted subjects walking the street, and we have trouble seeing them get picked up because there's no available units nearby to go pick them up. So we sometimes see crimes in progress, and there's no units available. So there's great potential with this. The system itself is working great. I wish we had more officers, and you know, that's something that would really go ahead and make this work better.
Brian, we're visiting with Brian Lagarde, Executive Director of Project NOLA. How many years have you been doing this?
over 15 years.
I was going to say,
program, it's been going on for a little while.
That's what I figured, around 15 years. And what's amazing is that your consumer confidence in your company has continued to go up every year. And I can't say that about many vendors that are out there, but I talk to a lot of people that are part of your program. They love you. I mean, they love the company. They love the participation. They feel like they're giving back to their community, and they are. You've created a mindset that people really want to help you help others.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for those extremely kind words. So we certainly try. We're dedicated as a nonprofit. So we're not in it for the money. We're not looking to monetize the data. Frankly, a lot of this comes very easy to us because we're not answering to bankers, investors. We're doing what helps law enforcement, which makes sense. And because we've been doing this longer than, frankly, you know, most anyone else, I've been designing camera systems since the 90s, digital camera systems since the 90s. So we have a bit of a head start, a lot of experience, and we're doing our own R&D. So we're not using third-party data farms. All of our servers live at UNO, at our offices. The whole thing's just come together. And it's truly powered by the public. Were it not for the public hosting our cameras on their homes, businesses, churches, schools, this wouldn't exist. It's a wonderful thing to be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I remember some crimes that we were able to solve in Jefferson Parish because of the video that y'all captured, which is actually, you know, had young kids lifting door handles on cars with other kids standing there with an automatic weapon, you know, scanning the houses in case somebody walked out. I mean, it was chilling.
Scary stuff.
And the quality of the image has really improved as well, right?
Exactly. And then the capabilities. So, you know, once upon a time, we've always been able to capture really good, vivid images of people's faces. But now our AI, we're able to more easily track that individual from, you know, before they even went out to go commit the crimes. So it takes us to an entirely different part of the city or even different jurisdiction. So it's not just Orleans Parish. Of course, we have cameras in Jefferson, but it's the surrounding jurisdictions as well. We're actually feeding into all these different real-time crime centers around the state. And then, of course, we're national now, so, you know, and then beyond. So it's creating citywide crime camera programs, regional crime camera programs, and the ability to track perpetrators before and after the crime, where we sometimes see them after they steal your car, after they burglarize your vehicle. They go back home and they're dancing in the street with your stolen firearm. So these are the different parts of a crime that we often see.
Yeah. Well, back to our original topic. Well, first, let me just say to you, congratulations on your success. But back to our original topic, I certainly hope that somebody somewhere figures out a remediation to this barricade issue on Bourbon Street. I mean, we spent a lot of time, effort, money, overtime talking about security, and the fact that we can just move the barrier, a group of folks can just move the barrier, is really disappointing. I mean, it's just, in my view, I can only say it one way. It's a failure in execution. And, you know, and that's been a challenge for the city on a number of fronts. And hopefully they get it resolved. But thank you for bringing this to the forefront and sharing these images with the 8th District. Hopefully they're able to get something done.
Absolutely. And we're expecting Ann Kirkpatrick to be visiting our office sometime soon. She recently reached out. She's looking forward to seeing the system herself, the new vehicle intrusion system. So we're moving forward together.
That is awesome news. I'm a big supporter of hers, and I'm glad to hear that she reached out. Brian Lagard, Executive Director of Project NOLA, thank you for your time, your insight, your effort. We truly appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Brian Lagard, Executive Director of Project NOLA. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.